The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
You know, I came in a little early today and I was wandering through the building just to kind of get the lay of the land and went down into the kids wing and I saw a little plaque. And on that plaque it said, "What did Adam say the day before Christmas?" He said, "It's Christmas, Eve." You know, it's Christmas Eve. And don't, you know what? It'll go to my head. It really will. I'll think of something else if you do that. It's Christmas Eve, and we're really, really excited that you're here. And we're more excited about the fact that we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder what you want for Christmas. I didn't know what to get my wife. So I went online and I Googled the most, the favorite things that people wanted for Christmas this year. And all the different lists broke down something like this: a puppy, an iPad, an iPhone, a laptop, cash, gift cards, clothes. It kind of all flowed that way. And I was thinking about that and reminded of a man that said, "My kids want a cat for Christmas." He said, "Normally we do turkey, but hey, if it'll make them happy." Yeah, I don't know what you want for Christmas, but if we change the question for a minute and put it this way, what do you really need for Christmas? Like, what do you really need for Christmas? Really? Some people need hope. Some people need rest. Some people really need just a little bit more peace. Some people, they need relationship and they're lonely and they don't have it. But I guess I'd like to ask you, what do you really need for Christmas? As I went through the Christmas story again this year, you know what struck me is that the Christmas story actually meets some of our deepest needs. It really does. Christmas isn't just an escape from reality for a few days. The story of Christmas actually speaks right into the reality of the world that we live in, and it meets some of our deepest needs. I want to read you just a few verses from Isaiah. Denise read them earlier, but I really want you to think about these verses. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned." And it goes on and it says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." There will be no end. What I'd like to do today is just share with you the three, I'll call them the deepest truths of the Christmas story. Three of the deepest truths of the Christmas story. I want you to, if you have to write them down, write them down. I want you to remember them. I want you to refer to these again and again and never forget them, because what I'm going to tell you is actually reality. In my home tomorrow, when we have Christmas dinner, I've got some special gifts. And I'm going to give them to every kid around the table that can tell me what are the three deepest truths of the Christmas story. So they'll remember it for that reason, but at least I hope to get it in their DNA. I hope you remember them. Here's the three greatest truths that underlie the Christmas story. Number one is this: Christmas is about a great light. It's about a great light. It says here, and it's referring to the birth of Jesus, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned." Christmas is about a great light. I wonder if that's why we celebrate with lights. I wonder if that's why so many people put up Christmas lights and our homes are lit up in so many different ways, because really, Christmas is about a great light. It's about people that have been living their lives in darkness. And living their lives in darkness means living out their whole life in darkness. What does darkness represent here? You know what it represents? It represents fear. There's a whole lot of people who are living out their lives in fear. It represents hopelessness, meaninglessness, just going around and around in circles and never being able to try and figure it out. No purpose. That's darkness. Darkness also represents here emptiness, just emptiness, just not being fulfilled in any way. It could represent loneliness, just longing for a relationship, but it's not there. And I know there's a lot of people this Christmas that have empty chairs at their table. And it says there's a lot of people in our world living out their lives in darkness. I mean, you can think of Ukraine, for sure. You can think of other countries, but I think it's right here. I think a lot of us, truth be known, our lives are riddled with fear, emptiness, loneliness, hopelessness. That's darkness. Now, it says the people that are walking around in darkness have actually seen a great light. There's other people that say, well, I don't think I'm living in darkness. Life's pretty good. We got it all together. My family's all together. And we got money. We're going to travel. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And actually, life is pretty good. You know, really what that means is a lot of times it is good, but we've learned to push aside the darkness or push it down. But every now and then it surfaces. It's the darkness of my mortality. I'm not going to live forever. Then what? Maybe it's that threat of disease that hangs over our heads and life's good now, but you know that thought comes to us every night. We push it away. It could be that life is pretty good, but that these thoughts creep into my mind of, you know, if I die, am I going to be okay with God? Am I going to be right with God? Sometimes we live pretty good lives and we kind of push aside the darkness, but we can never get rid of it completely. And the great thing about Christmas is light has come. There's another reality besides darkness, and it's light. People living in darkness have seen a great light. You know, a few years ago, a few of us went to Mallorca, an island off of Spain. I don't know if you've ever been to Mallorca. Beautiful island with fantastic beaches and lots to do. And one of the things you can do in Mallorca is they have these caves that you can explore and go into. And we had someone take us in one of these cave tours. And you get way down in this cave, and like it's murky. And they got us to a point, and they had us all here, and they turned off all the lights. I've never been in darkness like that in my life before. You could touch the darkness. It was incredible. And we were there, and we were thinking, so what do we do now? You couldn't even see the person next to you. You couldn't see your hand like that. Just dark. The blackness of darkness. And I thought, you know, if they can't find the light switch, we're messed. And then, faintly, a long way away, I thought I heard music, just faintly. And then way off in the distance over there, there was a flicker, a faint light. And after a few minutes, the music got loud. It was classical music. And in the bottom of the earth, classical music. And the light got a little brighter. And it just kept getting that way till they got down to where we were and they turned up the lights a bit. You know where we were? We were on the edge of an underground river. And these long rowboats were coming by with somebody from the symphony playing classical music with a torch. It was unbelievable. And I thought of this passage. People living in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus Christ is the light. And he's well able to bring light into the darkness of your life and put music back into a heart where the music has died. That's what he does. That's the first great truth about Christmas. Christmas is about a great light. Second is, Christmas is about an amazing baby. It's about an amazing baby. Did you hear what it said here? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Christmas is about the birth of an amazing baby named Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is God's intervention in history. See, the world of Palestine, where Jesus was born, it was riddled with violence, oppression, trauma, resistance. And people were desperately looking for somebody to rescue them. A rescue operation was needed. And it's incredible. It's crazy, really, when you think about it, that God moved to rescue these people. How? Through a baby. Think about that. Did you watch the news this week? Did you see President Zelensky from Ukraine in Washington at the White House? He had his fatigues on, and Mr. President Biden was in his suit and tie and everything else. And Mr. Zelensky answered Biden's question, "What do you need?" And President Zelensky said, "We need tanks. We need Patriot missiles. We need an air defense system." Can you imagine if Mr. Biden had said, "Mr. Zelensky, what do you need?" And he said, "Hey, it's okay. Victory is secure. I heard about a woman who's pregnant." Is that crazy? Through a baby, God's going to rescue the world. Who's the baby? Well, it's clearly God in the flesh that we read that in the Christmas narrative. But even here, listen to the names of the baby. "To us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, God's answer to a confused world. Mighty God, somebody who actually will rescue us." This baby is literally the mighty God. "Everlasting Father, God's answer to broken homes. Prince of Peace, God's answer to a world at war." This amazing baby is going to be God's answer to the violence, oppression, resistance, trauma, and darkness of the world, not only that they lived in, but that we live in here. The coming of the light was in the form of a baby. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and the great light is bound up in that child in a manger whose name was the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. There's another place in the Bible where it says, "In the beginning was the Word," that's another name for God, "and the Word was made flesh," became human, and moved right into the neighborhood. That's amazing. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the coming of God in Jesus. So that's two. Christmas is about the coming of a great light. It's about an amazing baby. Christmas is also about good news for everybody. Good news for everybody. I'll read again what Dave read from Luke. When Jesus was born, there were shepherds out in the fields. Angels appeared to them and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Don't be afraid. What I'm announcing to you in the birth of the baby, the angel said, is going to be good news for everybody on the planet. No exceptions. Old, young, Jew, Greek, white, black, gay, straight, trans, you name it. It's good news for everybody. Why? Because the baby's a Savior, and he can save his people from their sins. The greatest gift that God could ever give meets our greatest need, and his gift is Jesus Christ. What does it say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life." You talk about a gift that meets our greatest need. Forgiveness of sins is found in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. There was a time when Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me, that person will never die." That's an amazing offer. It's the gift of Emmanuel. His other name was, we have middle names, Dan John Cochran, Jesus Emmanuel. The Christ. Emmanuel means God with us. That meets one of our greatest needs too, because we walk through this world and it's tough, and we get cancer and we lose loved ones and we lose jobs, and you know, we have to put it all together, and yet he says, I'll be Emmanuel, I'll be God with you. In other words, you'll never face anything alone again. That's God's greatest gift. But like any gift, it has to be received. You have to receive a gift. Or it just sits under the tree. You have to open a gift. You have to possess the gift. How do you receive God's gift of Jesus Christ? You know, some people, they never get beyond the baby. Never get beyond the baby. But this Jesus Christ grew up to be a man. and about 33 and a half years of age, they took him and nailed him to a Roman cross. And he said that he was going there for you and for me, that we owed a debt to God that we couldn't pay, and that somehow when he was on that cross, God would heap on him all of our failure, our sin, our rebellion, everything that separated us from God, God would actually place on Jesus, and he would pay our debt in full. And Jesus went to the cross believing that that's what he was going to do, pay your debt, my debt. Question is, did he? He seems to think he did, because in his last breath, he said, "It is finished," which means I've done it, paid the debt in full. How do we know? We know because 3 days later, God blasted open a tomb and raised the dead body of Jesus to life, and he's the only person that's ever come back to life, never to die again. You have, if you think about this, there are two great exclamation points at both ends of Jesus' life. There's the virgin birth, and there's the resurrection from the dead. And it's like God saying, consider Jesus. There's never been anybody like him and never will be. He was born of a virgin, and I raised him from the dead. And in raising him from the dead, God has given proof to everybody that Jesus is who he said he is, and he did what he said he would do. All you have to do to receive the gift is trust him. Yeah, trust that he paid your debt. And then submit the government of your life to him. It actually says in the verses I read to you in Isaiah chapter 9, the government will be on his shoulder. We submit the government of our life to him. We trust him and we give our lives to him and we begin to follow him. And then you know what Jesus says? He says, in the light of the world, whoever follows me will never, ever walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's the significance of Christmas. It's the coming of a great light. It's the birth of an amazing baby. And it's good news for everybody. And it's a gift that we need to receive. You know what? We're going to celebrate that a little bit and ask the team to come back out. And let's celebrate the coming of the light, because it's not just coming to the light generally. It was the coming of the light for you and for your family and for me and for my family. And so we celebrate that today. So why don't we stand together and we'll celebrate together.